What's going on, 1 week season fam? JM to win here. It's 10:51 p.m. on the West Coast. By the time I finish this voice note, hopefully about 30 minutes later for you, it'll probably be about 4 or 5 or 6 a.m. on the West Coast. So what I'm going to do here is capture some of the thoughts that I'm having as I'm going through the night and then, you know, sort of wrap up where I'm at on the week through that. Couple notes: if you are not on the Discord, get on there. Even if you're not, you know, a chat room type of person, I've never really used something like Discord before, but it's been super valuable. But one of the things that's been really valuable is just to go back through and read what other people have dropped in there, the questions they've dropped in there, the thoughts they've dropped in there, the research they're coming across, etc. So go and do at least the single entry channel and the mass multi-entry channel and read back through the last day or two. I've mentioned that already, but want to mention that again. Another thing is we're going to start going through Xandamir and Hylo, and Sonic and I are going to start next week and, you know, a little bit this week on Saturdays and Sunday mornings, whatever we're seeing in Discord or answering in Discord that we think will provide value to more than just the person who's talking about it or asking. We'll pin that so you can check the pins on that Discord server. And Saturday night, Sunday morning, it should have a lot of good curated information in there. So this all kind of started when I hopped into Discord. I was putting William down and was thinking through the slate. And I started thinking that one of the things that'll be important for us this weekend is to let go of salary multiplier mindset. So oftentimes on a normal slate, you're looking at a cheaper player and you're saying, well, I don't think he can get me 25 to 30 points, but he's only 3,800 or 4K or whatever it might be. And I think he can hit that 4X salary multiplier. And typically that's a really solid way to build. But on a week like this, and this is why we talk about pricing and FanDuel a little bit less, is because pricing is loose enough there that, as I've said before, we're basically trying to build an all-star team on FanDuel. And that's not something we can typically do on DraftKings. But this week, when we talked about this, you know, kind of alluded to this with the pricing psychology note in the Angles podcast. And then Todd and I talked about this on the Run to Daylight podcast on Saturday night. There are players this week who are just not priced correctly, players who will be priced differently in a month. And so, and then there are players who should be priced differently this weekend just because of the situation. And they're going to be, not everybody's going to hit, obviously. Not everybody that people like, not everybody that we're all talking about is going to hit, but there are going to be some cheaper players who hit for 25-plus point games. And so one of the keys this week is going to be making sure that you're only targeting players who have that potential. So go out of your way to only get players who have that potential. So I was putting that in there and then going through, after I put that in Discord, I was going through going through the DraftKings app and basically just looking at everything one more time to make sure there was nothing I was overlooking. And one thing that I came across was Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews. And as a research guy, it's easy for me to hold on to what we saw in 2019, but Mark Andrews' snap share went up last week with Hayden Hurst gone. And there's just been a lot of talk about that Hollywood Brown wasn't fully healthy last year. And then add to that, he's a young player and this is now his second year in the league. So there's a chance that what we think of as Hollywood Brown's ceiling or his range is different. Now, again, he only saw six targets last week, but the game was not particularly competitive. We can assume from what we saw this last week that with the Texans and Chiefs that this game won't be competitive. But again, this is an NFL team with a really good quarterback and some explosive weapons. If the Texans are able to keep this close, it won't be surprising if Lamar Jackson has to throw it 28 times, 32 times, and Marquise Brown could get 7 or 8 targets. And he's a guy who, just basically all that to say, you realize, okay, this is a guy who could get 25-plus points. And not a lot of people will be on him, or at least not a lot of sharper rosters will have him at his price. And so if not a lot of sharper rosters have him and the people who have him are the casual fans, you have an edge on those rosters already. And so basically kind of started thinking, yeah, the research for me at that price tag doesn't point to Marquise Brown because he's 6,100 and he's only going to get, you know, typically 6-7. We're hoping for 8 targets. But then I started realizing, okay, if I'm playing Lamar this week, that's a potential leverage spot. So I built a few, not full stacks, but I just built a few rosters and screenshotted them that started with Lamar plus Hollywood Brown plus Mark Andrews. So then I started going through and doing that, and I built basically a number of combinations that I could go to from there. So Lamar plus Hollywood Brown plus Mark Andrews plus 2 Cowboys wide receivers plus 1 Falcons wide receiver to see what that would look like, and then kind of mixed and matched the different combos there. And then I did Lamar Jackson and Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews with T.Y. Hilton and Paris Campbell. And so I wasn't building full rosters on any of these. I was just building, you know, that starting point, that foundation point, and taking a screenshot so that I would have all of these and be able to kind of pick through them. So then I moved on to the Cowboys builds, and I put in some DAC with Cowboys combos and Falcons pieces, and then put in Matt Ryan with some Falcons pieces and bringing it back with some Cowboys pieces. And I basically started doing this for all of the foundational game and passing stacks that I like this week. And so that gave me and as I'm recording this, I don't know yet which of those builds I'm going to have. I don't know yet that I'll have Hollywood Brown in any of my core builds this week, my 14 to 19 rosters this week. But this is kind of part of something that I talked about, I think, in the chat pod this week, of if you start finding that you just keep ending up on the same types of builds or the same players, force yourself to start in a different place. And so I was doing that with Lamar and Hollywood and Mark Andrews, and led to this kind of process for this week. So once I had those foundational stacks in place, I thought, okay, I want to go through and do this for the other positions too, so that I have a clearer sense of what my player pool looks like right now, and a kind of easy way to start thinking about, because I do a lot of my building on the app. And so that's kind of how I end up visualizing these lineups. And so having these screenshots that I can now look at and say, okay, I can envision what a roster will look like from here. And by this point in the week, I know everybody's price, and I can start messing around with things in my head to get a sense of what this final roster could look like. So I liked that thought, and I decided to start doing that with other positions too. And so I left the, you know, took my quarterback out, and now I've taken my game stacks out, and I went through and added in the additional wide receivers that I like this week and that were not kind of in that group of builds. And so I threw in my, I won't hit the full list here, because we'll get to whatever I'm kind of looking at on my rosters by 5 or 6 a.m., but kind of started at, I think, about the Mike Evans point, and then started working my way down and putting in four wide receivers at a time, and then taking the screenshot so that I could just see, okay, these are the other wide receivers I like and the guys I'm wanting to cycle through. Then I moved over to tight end and did the same thing there. And then I moved to running back, and I realized that this is kind of a strange week, because a lot of times running back is where I feel most comfortable, most confident. And this week, that's not the case. And so I started going through and looking at, okay, Christian McCaffrey, we know about the matchup, but if we're saying that there are mispriced players, and if there is a potential to build a roster where you could get 25 plus points from multiple cheap guys, then you have to think about, okay, who has the highest raw ceiling on the slate? And this has been kind of talked about in Discord and on the site throughout the week, but I think that Hilo had Christian McCaffrey in his leverage plays in the end around article, which, oh, by the way, if you haven't spotted this, I forgot to put the OWS Collective notes, open those up underneath Hilo's article. And so I did that on Saturday, and we're going to start giving away some edge points this week to those of you who pop stuff into that OWS Collective. So yeah, check that out. The instructions on that are at the bottom of the, or the details on that are at the bottom of the article. Anyhow, so McCaffrey, and then I started thinking about Saquon and just trying to think about who are these guys who could get you 30 to 35 points, and maybe they're not the best plays from a price considered standpoint, but if Zeke gets everyone 20 or 23 and Derrick Henry gets everyone 16 or 17, right? Those are very reasonable, solid real life games for these guys that just don't turn into big DFS scores. And McCaffrey puts up 30 and Saquon puts up 30. And instead of being boxed into this pricing psychology box where you're saying, okay, how do I get up at white? I'll take one cheap wide receiver and then how do I get up? You know, that you could say, okay, well, here's Paris Campbell. If I think Paris Campbell is going to cost $6K in a month, then why not get him at $4,500 this week, or $4,600, whichever one he is. And trying to think like that, basically, and saying, where can I maximize points where, you know, I end up getting these running backs that other people aren't on and saying, yeah, this isn't the best price considered place to go from like an optimal lineup construction standpoint, but from a leverage standpoint, if nobody's on this guy and this guy hits for a huge game, then I gained such a big edge on the field, especially because it's very easy to see how Zeke could have a good game and end up with 22 or 23 points. It's, again, very easy to see how Derrick Henry could have a good game and end up with 16 or 17 points. So I started thinking about, okay, do I want to play these guys? And then I kind of moved down to this mid-tier range that we've been pretty focused on through conversations this week of Miles Sanders and Kenyon Drake and even Austin Eckler, whoever else is in this range. And I started really realizing, man, like I really don't have a strong sense of who I love at running back this week. You know, I was looking at Dalvin Cook and thinking about that. And so then I decided to start watching some games. And so first I watched, I won't have time to watch full games, but I wanted to catch three or four drives in a bunch of different games from last week and just kind of reaffirm what I'm seeing and look for very specific things. So first game that I watched was Cardinals and 49ers. A couple thoughts here. I'm going to be lower on the Jets than Hilo, and then probably some people were saying in Discord that there is chatter about this Jets offense in the industry, that Perriman, you know, might get up over 10% ownership. I might still have a little bit of Perriman, but I'm not going to be trusting him on my rosters this week. I really do still like the 49ers defense. I don't think that they're as scary with all these injuries, D Ford and Fred Warner and Richard Sherman, but there's also an element on this defense of just the way that it's design makes it very difficult to attack downfield. And the Cardinals, you know, we know that they're a short passing attack already, but just everything that they did was so short area. So that makes me like Chris Herndon more, especially on DraftKings with PPR at his price. I think that we'll just see a lot of shorter passes to Chris Herndon. I think that you can feel really safe about 7+ targets on Herndon. I'm going to be lower on Perriman than I was kind of starting to think that I would be. Next thought here is that I could see this game just being a little bit lower scoring. Now, it's incredible how Kyle Shanahan's always able to figure out ways to move the ball. But a lot of what he does is based around what Kittle can do. And this offense isn't working with a ton other than scheme outside of Kittle. So Brandon Ayuk is, I think, going to be the kind of key piece that they'll lean on here. He's the guy that I'm going to have interest in this game, because if we're talking about trying to find guys who can get you 25+ points at a low price tag and low ownership, look, this is pinned in the Discord, but we don't know if Ayuk is ready to be a good NFL player yet. But that's kind of the point, is that while we don't know is the time to get on him, while we don't know is the time when the ownership will be low, and it's a plus EV move, because if you take the explosive player with pretty bankable volume in the good matchup and at low ownership over time, and the reason why there's low ownership is just because there are unknowns involved. Basically, if you do that, 50 times out of the 50 times that an opportunity like that shows up, you're going to make money off of that move over time, because those are the types of plays that just kind of guarantee lower ownership and give you a lot of upside when they hit. So Brandon Ayuk, you know, I could see him failing to like five targets, but it should be in the 5 to 8 target range. I should note that this is a very different 5 to 8 target range than Marquise Brown, who 5 to 8 targets downfield, right? We're talking about 5 to 8 targets in the short areas of the field trying to create yards after the catch. So he could easily get 4 catches for 40 yards and that's his day, but he could also bust off a couple yards after catch gains. I think that people have kind of stopped realizing how Debo got his points last year, right? He had a lot of disappointing games. Same thing with AJ Brown. These guys rely on big chunk gains after the catch, but that's why the 49ers drafted Ayuk. This is why they like him. This is why they worked him into the first team right away in summer, is because he fits very well with this way that they want to win games. Kittle's the best yards after catch tight end in the league. Debo is one of the top 5 to 10 wide receivers after the catch in the league, and they feel like Ayuk can be the same thing. So he doesn't need to be able to do complex NFL things. If Shanny can get him open and get him the ball in space, you know, he'll have a shot to hit for a big game. That's my thoughts there. Next thoughts. I watched a ton of this Washington Philly game last week live, so I never went back this week and watched it from the beginning. Watching it from the beginning, it stands out that Antonio Gibson got the very first touch of the season, a designed run play to him. Antonio Gibson got the second touch of the season, a designed run play to him. Antonio Gibson got the third target, the first target of the season. So the first three plays of the season were Antonio Gibson plays. It was against the Philly run defense that stonewalls rushing attacks. Nothing happened. And then Coach Rivera said this week that the reason Peyton Barber got so much work was because Washington was playing with the lead, and that was a way that they felt was the best way to win that game. I don't think it would, you know, I've already noted that, look, Antonio Gibson only played 18 snaps, but it should stand out to us that he got 11 touches on 18 snaps. It won't surprise me, and it shouldn't surprise any of us, if he gets more like 30 to 35 snaps this week, and I think he has an outside shot at 40 snaps. And we're talking about a player at 4,300 who has explosive upside, enough explosive upside that everybody rostered him last week, and then this week everybody's going to jump off of him. I'm kind of comfortable penciling in 10 to 14 touches, but if we're talking about tournaments, I think that he can hit the 14 to 16 touch range with an outside shot at 17 or 18 touches if everything goes right for him in this game. And if that's the case, he could be a slate winner. So I'm going to mix some of him into my rosters this week against a not great run defense in Arizona. And that's 18 minutes into this voice note, and this has all been right now when I first started. So I'm wanting to keep this short, so I'm going to go ahead and pause my recording now and kind of the rest of the way not make that announcement, and I'll just drop some quick hit-by-hit thoughts in here once I kind of have them tied in, and then hopefully by the end of this I'll be able to give you a clear sense of exactly where I'm going on the slate. Last thing here is that I've kind of put pressure on myself over the years to have my player pool figured out by the player grid, and then at this point we're trying to get the player grid up on Friday night. Those two things don't really fit well together. Honestly, they don't fit well together trying to do it by Saturday afternoon. So I'm going to start, you know, this week everything kind of got a little bit pushed back as we were working on NBA stuff, and then there's still just so much business stuff that has to be done in September. So this week I feel like my player pool was less close to what the final player pool will be while I was putting together the player grid than basically any other week the rest of the season will be. But I think that we're going to keep this flexibility moving forward, so that it's just like I feel comfortable putting my player grid out there, but also saying like, look, I'll update you guys on what's changing, and I'm going to give myself that flexibility to change, because Saturday nights are really the nights when everything's going to start coming together. And that's too late to get the player grid up, but it's not too late to kind of give you guys where I'm really at. So I don't know if it'll be in this format every week with this lengthy audio note, but I'm certainly not going to be typing up anything else by Saturday night. I iced my hands and wrists today. It's brutal on those parts of my body. So I'll rest up for the next NFL Edge. But so yeah, it'll be audio updates of one type or another, just like it was last year. I just don't know if it'll always be in this format where I kind of update you guys with my thoughts throughout. I know Sunday morning's build time, so I'd love to keep these to like 20 minutes or fewer, which is where we're at right now. But again, I'll just hit some quick thoughts the rest of the way and then kind of wrap you guys up at the end with where I stand on my rosters. All right, first thought is, got to play back something I said earlier. Gibson did not get the target on that third play. It was McKissick, but Gibson got the first two touches of the game, carry and a carry. Thoughts still stand there. I am about to move on from this Washington game, but a couple thoughts here. One, Scott Turner is such an awesome offensive coordinator. The Washington attack is set up so well, and they don't have a scary matchup against Arizona. I think that it's natural to just chop off this passing attack with Dwayne Haskins at quarterback. And I'm very much on board with that thought in general, because you have to be so accurate at the NFL level. And it's not like Haskins is super inaccurate, but he just doesn't get the ball in the right place. If a player's on the move, they've got to catch the ball behind them or throws downfield in coverage. You know, it's half foot off from where it needs to be. And then every once in a while, he'll have a Trubisky-like misfire. So it's a little bit scary to bet on this passing attack. But a couple people have asked about Terry McLaurin being overlooked, and he really is. He's just kind of invisible on this slate. He has as much upside as anybody. So on a week when we're looking for 25-plus from every player on our roster, he's the guy I'm going to start circling. Next thought is the Eagles really just attack so aggressively downfield with Rager and DeSean Jackson there. It's a totally different offense than what we had in the past. So I'm about to go watch some Rams defense and see if I want to get a little bit more action on this Philly offense. Or I should say, if I want to move them into consideration a little bit more than they have been for me so far this week. All right, fam, it's 2:44 a.m. I'm going to have Miles Sanders on half my rosters. My thinking is his last three games, DraftKings scoring, his last five games in which he's played the full game, including playoffs last year. DraftKings scoring 21.5 points on 22 touches, 8.5 points on 19 touches, 38.2 points on 25 touches, 26.6 points on 25 touches, 10.7 on 19 touches. So again, touches 22, 19, 25, 25, 19, and points we had 21, 8, 38, 26, 6, and then 10.7. So essentially, you're looking at about at 6K in salary. Well, you're looking at 100% of games with 19-plus touches. And then at 6K in salary, you're hoping to get 24-plus, but anything 18 and above, you're going to feel good about. Well, he's got three games above that 18-point threshold, including games of 38 and 26. So these are small sample sizes, but that's what we're dealing with in football anyway, right? Because the biggest sample size you're getting that's relevant is going to be about 12 or 13 games. So, you know, five games for Miles Sanders. I think that if we keep playing out this season, if we get 5, 6, 7 weeks in, we're going to keep seeing this. We're going to keep seeing him scoring 20-plus about half the time. We're going to keep seeing him getting 19-plus touches almost every game. And so putting those two things together and then taking this week's price into consideration, you have a guy who has a much higher likelihood than anybody on DraftKings should, where pricing is typically pretty tight, of hitting the salary multipliers that you need. And then because he's, you know, we're not talking about a cheap guy, the salary multipliers you need are also the scores that you're going to need on a week like this. And then, you know, feel even better about him given that he'll be lower owned because of the other guys in this price range who are attractive. So as I've made very clear this week, I like Jonathan Taylor. I think he's a solid play, but I don't think that he's as lock and load as the ownership is going to indicate. And so the way to play that from a strategy standpoint, if you feel that way, is to go underweight. But for me, I'm comfortable just kind of playing this with single entry mindset and just not attacking him in tournament builds this week. And then basically by doing that, I'm also making the bet that I think Miles Sanders will outscore him often enough that given the ownership gap, this is a plus EV move. So about half my rosters, I'm looking at Miles Sanders. I'm looking at, well, I guess I should dig into a couple of these numbers here. The Cowboys. So bear with me because I'm going to kind of read through this as I talk through this, but at Dax price, so at Dax price on DraftKings, he's going to need 325 yards and 3 touchdowns in order for you to feel really good about the price you're paying to roster him and the sort of score you're going to need this week. On FanDuel, where we're taking point per dollar into consideration less because of the looser pricing, again, he's going to need 325 yards and 3 touchdowns to hit the sort of score that you're going to need. 300 is fine. I was looking at 325 for some projection elements, but 300 yards and 3 touchdowns, he's going to need to get into that range regardless of which site you're playing on. So if you bet on Dak getting that, and then you have a narrow distribution of touches, you kind of start going a couple layers down and generously give 7 catches for 75 yards. Oh, well, I've got Dak at about 25 completions on this. You're expecting 36 to 40 plus pass attempts from Dak in this spot, given the way Dallas runs their offense, given the pace at which these two teams play. So 25 completions is a very comfortable projection. So if you give 7 catches and 75 yards to Zeke and Schultz, you're still left with, I guess we could even say 7 and 85, you're still left with 18 catches for 240 yards left for these wide receivers. So that's 42 points, not taking into account any DraftKings bonuses. On FanDuel, that is going to be 33 points. And then you add in touchdowns. Obviously, on FanDuel, you're more touchdown reliant, and touchdowns are less predictable, which is kind of what brings a lot more of the variance into play on FanDuel. But if you say 3 touchdowns, all of a sudden you're sitting on 60 points for these 3 wide receivers who their salary, you know, if you played all 3 of them together, 60 points keeps you on that 4x salary multiplier pace. Now, that only gives you 20 points per player, as we've talked about. You really want to be targeting that 25 points per player. But here's where things get cool, is if you take 2 of those guys, you're not assuming that each guy gets exactly 20 points. So if you take Gallup and Amari, you're hoping that CeeDee Lamb gets 12 points and you're getting 48 from these other 2 guys. Same thing with any combo in there. So basically, for Dak to produce at the level he needs to produce at, in order for him to be on your roster, you almost have to create a rule that if you're rostering Dak, you're rostering 2 of his receivers, because the pricing and the narrow distribution of targets means that if Dak is producing at the level you need him to produce at, it's highly likely that 2 of his pass catchers are also producing at the level you need him to produce at. To go a layer deeper there, can Dak do this? Yes. So last year, he had 9 games. 9 out of 16 games in which he produced 60 or more pass catcher points. Now, we've decided to go ahead and give about 15 pass catcher points to Zeke and Schultz. So we really need games where Dak is putting up 75 or more pass catcher points, creating 75 or more pass catcher points. Again, this is talking about DraftKings scoring, but this kind of applies to everything. And this does not even take into account bonuses on DraftKings when we're talking about points. So I'm just taking Dak's yards and completions and touchdowns and how many pass catcher points that created. So can Dak create 75 pass catcher points? So last year he created 89 pass catcher points against the Giants, 85 pass catcher points against the Packers, 86 against Minnesota, 91 against Detroit. And then we'll also mention this 80 for Buffalo and 77, 80 against Buffalo, 77 against Washington. So in all, that gives us 6 games last year in which Dak would have produced about 60 points for the combination of CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup and Amari Cooper, who, again, that keeps him on that 4X salary pace that you need for 200 points. So 6 out of 16 games, and then to go another level up, 4 out of 16 games last year, he produced enough that he would have had about 70 points for these, 70 or more points for these wide receivers. So you could roster these three guys together, and taking last year's numbers, a quarter of the time, you could be getting about 22 to 23 points per player on average of CeeDee Lamb, Amari, and Gallup. And so the way to play that, I'm going to have, I think it's going to be 2 out of 26 rosters with the whole shebang, Dak and all three receivers. I am going to bring one of those back with Julio and one back with Ridley, and then, you know, obviously build out the rest of that roster from there. But in the other spots where I'm using Dak, it's going to be Dak plus 2 of his receivers. And the hope is that he does produce 65 to 70 points for these wideouts, but that 2 of them combine for 55 or 60 points. And I'll be able to cover the different combos of these guys. So I'll have, I think, probably 3 out of 26, Dak plus Amari plus Gallup, 3 out of 26, Dak plus Amari plus CeeDee Lamb, and then 2 out of 26 with Gallup and CeeDee Lamb. How I came to these numbers is 6 out of 16 games last year, Dak was producing at a high enough level that Dak plus 2 of his pass catchers at the prices where these pass catchers are, and with the narrow distribution of targets, 6 out of 16 times you would have been in really excellent shape. Give it a little boost for the matchup against the Falcons, and the fact that the Falcons pass a lot, and the fact that both teams play really fast, and you know, taking 10 out of 26 rosters or just under 40% might actually be selling things a little bit short. So that's me taking into account, you know, a lot of people have asked, are you concerned about the Tyron Smith injury? And we've been talking about it, and I've pinned some notes in Discord about it. So yeah, I mean, I think we think about it, we take it into account, but if Dak fails in this spot, and if the Cowboys passing attack fails in this spot, I obviously, if Dak fails in this spot, I'll still have plenty of outs, but 40% is a big bet to make, and I'm comfortable making that bet this week. You know, taking everything into account, I'm not going way overboard for the numbers point to about 40%, and so, bump it up a little bit for the matchup against Atlanta, bump it down a little bit for the injuries on the offensive line, but I'm comfortable with that type of exposure. As for getting these guys, Cowboys pieces, as for one other thing, I think that you might wonder, what does this mean for Zeke? Do you put Zeke on a roster with Dak or with Dak and these other guys? So as I mentioned, in order for Dak to put up the sort of score you need, he has to put up, you know, a big enough score that you're using 2 of his pass catchers. So we track the scores that Dak put up last year. So what did Zeke do in those games? So I'm not going to go game by game, but these were the scores that Zeke produced in the games we noted where Dak produced at the level that we're looking for. Zeke scored in those games 13.3, 22.9. Keep in mind that you really are going to need about 30 points from Zeke this week on DraftKings at his price, and then kind of, you know, adjust all of these for FanDuel as well. 13.3, 22.9, 14.2, 16.9, 8.3, 21.3, 20.7, 23.3, and 30.4. So he had one game where he produced at a high level along with Dak and the other pass catchers, and that was obviously partly because he took up a larger chunk of the pass catching work in that game. So we don't have a track record so far of Zeke hitting when Dak hits, not to the level that you would need given where those two are priced or the sort of score that you're going to need this week. So that's not to say it can't happen, but I'm going to be leaving Dak plus Zeke rosters alone. I will be probably leaving Zeke off of rosters that use Cowboys receivers entirely, and then I'm guessing I'll probably have 6 out of 26 rosters somewhere in that range with Zeke in order to specifically hedge. And I do think that I'll have some Cowboy exposure on every roster, regardless of who the quarterback is or how I'm playing the rest of that roster. That covers a lot of kind of where I'm at and how I'm playing things. I think the only thing that'll be left is kind of who I'm hitting at running back, and I guess who I'm hitting at running back, tight end, defense, if anything's different there from what's on the player grid, and how I'm hitting the rest of these stacks, you know, as far as the passing attacks on these other rosters. Next note, I have what we'll call Paris Hilton, Paris Campbell, and T.Y. Hilton. Combined, I have them at a 50th percentile projection of about 29 points. The GPP ceiling tool has them at a combined 50th percentile projection of, I think it's about 27.3 points. They cost 10.2K combined in DraftKings salary. And by the way, for those of you who have asked about FanDuel stuff, obviously most of our players play on DraftKings, but I'm kind of working back into getting all of the FanDuel stuff put into the edge as far as mentioning pricing and everything on these late week, late night boat notes. These are all kind of bonus notes because I'm in the middle of my builds and I've got lights off and I'm two floors away from my computer and just working on my phone and popping in notes as I can. I say that to say I'm not going to break out of my build mindset to look up the specific stuff on FanDuel, but I'll keep looping in the thoughts on how they work on FanDuel. But since we're talking about a two wide receiver combo and doing it primarily for the savings in this situation, this is more of a DraftKings specific. So Paris Hilton combined costs about 10.2K. Paris Hilton combined 50th percentile projection for targets is anywhere from 17 to 19 combined targets. This simplifies things, but last week Devontae Adams on 17 targets went for 14 catches, 156 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Given the way that Paris Campbell and T.Y. Hilton are being used in this offense, 13 catches would lead to about 150 to 160 yards. The Vikings are not good at covering wide receivers right now, but one thing that they should always be good at under Mike Zimmer is preventing yards after the catch. So something like 11 to 12 to 13 yards per catch for Paris Campbell and T.Y. Hilton would be what you would project here, given their A dot and the way that they're used. Anything over that is, you know, missed tackles or big plays or whatever it might be. But about 13 catches for 160 yards gets you about 29 points. And so if you roster the two of them together, if they just score 2 touchdowns, you're picking up 40 points, which this is one of those instances where, yes, we're looking for 25 plus from every player on our roster, but if I can take care of 2 spots on my roster at once and feel really good about the floor and ceiling, in this case, the floor being 30 points from 2 players, which is just always great when you can lock it in if you're under that, you know, 6,500 price tag or 7K price tag. And then it's not as if they can't go for 45 to 50 points combined. So I'm going to have a few rosters with the two of them together. And then I'll have several other rosters with one or the other. And with the one or the other thing, it's similar to what we were talking about with the Cowboys, where you say these points aren't going to be distributed perfectly evenly. So if I can say 50th percentile is Paris Hilton combining for 30, and one of them only gets 8 points or 9 points, 10 points, 12 points, at these price tags, you're going to be happy with that 18 to 20 points that you're going to be getting. And then obviously there's no reason why one of them can't go for 25 and the other go for 12 points. You know, one of them score a touchdown. So this ties pretty directly into that, all the stuff that we talk about with how to think through rosters. And I'm basically giving myself a high floor and a high ceiling, and also giving myself a number of outs. You know, if one of them fails, then that almost certainly means that the other one is doing well and helping a different roster. So those two are going to be part of the balance of how I'm building my rosters this week as well. All right, it's 3:17 on the West Coast, and I'm going to start trying to wrap this note because some of you on the East Coast are probably starting to get up and starting to get ready, and so I won't have my full player pool finished until probably 6 or 7 a.m. as far as like my final builds, but I can't give you my final builds anyway because DraftKings would be mad. So we're about at a place where we can wrap this up. Might take me 30 or 40 minutes, but not of recording. 30 or 40 minutes of my time. I've taken up enough of yours. I'm going to have three Matthew Stafford rosters. He's underpriced 5 out of 8 games last year. He put up the sort of score that you're looking for from Matt Ryan, for example, but at much lower ownership, and Matt Ryan put up the sort of score that you need from him about a quarter of the time last year. Obviously, Stafford is without Galladay, but throw in the leverage, the low ownership, it is a play that I want to take a few shots on. I'll have a Stafford Jones, I'll have a Stafford Cephas, and I'll have a Stafford with both of them. I'll probably bring those back with Aaron Jones, but it might be Davante Adams instead. Might be Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I'm not sure yet. The only place where I'll have Davante Adams is if I do one of those stacks. I've talked about that this week. I'll probably have some MVS and potentially some Aaron Jones in some other spots as well. The rest of my quarterbacks are going to be Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, potentially one Carson Wentz, maybe two Carson Wentz, just because of how aggressively that offense is throwing downfield, and probably one Sam Darnold, just because he's probably going to be under 1% owned, and his only wide receiver is a downfield weapon, and the 49ers are really banged up, and it's just a good spot when somebody is as low owned as that to take advantage. We've seen him put up 25-plus point games before, and he's super cheap. So on DraftKings, where that matters, that salary, and can still get you 25 points, maybe one Sam Darnold roster. Wide receiver, you guys probably have a pretty strong sense of where I'm at this point. But obviously, you know, going to be mixing in these Falcons receivers a little bit in these Cowboys builds. Not as focused on the Falcons just because of the higher price tags and the slightly broader distribution of targets, but obviously they're very strong plays. But the guys who I'm focused on kind of outside of what I've talked about so far, I'll still have some Mike Evans. I don't love that he's as chalky as he's gonna be, but I like the play. I'm not going overboard on him, but I'll probably end up, I don't know, 20%, which would be about even with the field. I'll have a little bit of Will Fuller just because he's always a guy in tournaments that you can consider for the immense upside, and he's the true alpha now, and I don't like his price tag, but with salary a little bit looser this week, price tag matters less. If he gets you 30 plus points and nobody's on him, it won't matter what you paid for him, and he can do that. You guys know I like Marquez Valdez-Scantling this week. I don't think I mentioned DeSean Jackson in the player grid, but I've talked about him a lot just because of his average depth of target and the fact that everyone's going to jump off of him. Still not really sure how I'll be managing my exposure on these lower cost wide receivers, but I'm primarily eyeing Brandon Ayuk, Deontay Johnson, Mike Williams, Scotty Miller, Quintez Cephas, and Breshad Perriman. Again, I won't have as much Breshad Perriman as I originally thought as I started thinking earlier today that I might, but I'll probably have a little bit of him. Tight end, I'm primarily focusing on Chris Herndon and Logan Thomas at the lower end of the price range. Chris Herndon, you know, the Jets are still an NFL team and they're still going to have the ball probably 25 minutes. They'll still throw the ball probably 32 times at minimum. The 49ers are really banged up. The 49ers, what they're really good at is forcing short throws. So PPR scoring, Chris Herndon is probably looking, you know, it will be surprising if he doesn't hit 7 targets. And even just like a 5 for 40 at his price tag, you're not killing yourself. Obviously, we're looking for 25 plus points, but wouldn't be crazy for Herndon to go something like 6 for 65 and a touchdown. And just given what he opens up, I'd be very happy with that, getting over 5x at his price, getting up to close to 20 points. Logan Thomas, he's involved in this offense, good matchup against Arizona. I'd love to get up in price, but there's just, you know, tight end is always this place where you kind of end up overpaying for the production most of the time. We talked about that this week or last week. Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz, Hunter Henry, and I'll probably have a little bit of Mark Andrews, but only with Lamar Jackson. I won't be playing Mark Andrews without Lamar Jackson. And I still like Gronk and O.J. Howard. I think, as I mentioned earlier this week, I think we get 8 to 11 combined targets for them. So if they get to that 11-target mark with Godwin out and one of them sees only 4, then you're looking at 7 targets on players that nobody's going to be on in a tremendous matchup. And I think Gronk in particular is interesting. And not going overboard there, but I'll make sure that I get a little bit of Gronk exposure, a little bit of O.J. Howard exposure. Defense, talked about this on Discord, pinned this to the side of Discord, to the side. That's where it is on the desktop. The pins come up on the side when you pull them up. Anyhow, Zandamir's brought this up, and I really like this thought that with salary a little bit looser, this is a week when it makes sense to get the defense that you like the most. Try to worry a little bit less about salary. If you think that Miles Sanders will actually be priced at about $7K a month from now, if you think that Paris Campbell will actually be priced at about $6K a month from now, if you think T.Y. Hilton will be priced at $6,500, $6,800 a month from now, you can save enough salary while not lowering your upside, is what we're basically getting at. There are just a lot of places this week where there's mispricing, and so rather than trying to get that 4x from a cheap defense, rather than hoping for 5 to 8 points from a cheap defense, why not take the defense that you think in almost any scenario is going to get you 8 or 9 points and could get you 12 to 14 to 15 points. So whether that's the Steelers or the Bills, you can get sneaky and just say the Ravens always have a shot at putting up points. The 49ers are banged up, but that doesn't mean that they can't have a good game against a mistake-prone quarterback in Sam Darnold. There are other defenses that you could pay up for. There are defenses, you know, that you don't have to pay up for, but basically just find the defense that you like in terms of who you think is going to get you a lot of points or who you think is a nice leverage play that can get you a lot of points at lower ownership. Finally, running back. This is oddly the one spot, as I mentioned earlier, where I just don't have the confidence I typically have. And so the way I'm going to handle that is by betting on a few different angles. So obviously, as I mentioned, I'll have a lot of Miles Sanders. I will have some Zeke. But if I have 13 out of 26 Miles Sanders and let's say 5 or 6 Zeke, and 26 rosters means 52 running back spots, so that still leaves over 30 running back spots left to fill. And I think I'll just be basically saying like, okay, I'll take 5 of this guy who I like and 5 of this guy who I like and 5 of this guy who I like, or maybe 3 of this guy who I like, and play things that way. Say, look, I don't have certainty on this position. So let me figure out who I think can get me 30 plus points and take those guys. And so a little bit of Aaron Jones. I have not really talked about Clyde Edwards-Helaire until Discord tonight or last night, Saturday night, but just started realizing that if everybody's getting off of him, you know, if he were highly owned, we would give all the reasons why we should be cautious, but he's still a running back in this Chiefs offense, which can lead to 25-plus point games at low ownership. I like that play. I'll have a little bit of Kenyon Drake. I'll have probably a small amount of Saquon. I'll have probably a small amount of Dalvin Cook. And then, as I mentioned earlier, I think I'll take some Antonio Gibson. I think we're looking at about 16 touches here. Obviously, he could be as low as 10, but he could also be as high as 18 or 19. And there's a lot of upside on this play if nobody's going to be on it. And the price tag is low enough that, you know, it's not going to kill you if he only gets you 10 points. But given his role in this offense, I feel pretty confident he can get up to about 9 or 10 points, even if things fall apart. So that's kind of everything. That's what I'm focused on. There might be, you know, there's always a shot for some receiver like Terry McLaurin to pop in there, because anybody who can score from anywhere on the field has a lot of value. Terry McLaurin, DeSean Jackson, Will Fuller, these are all guys who should see 7 or more targets and can score from anywhere on the field. There's a lot of value in that, so I'll be looking at kind of keeping my options open for what I might be able to do at wide receiver. That does it. I apologize for the length of this. I know you guys don't mind, obviously, the information, but on a Sunday morning, be nice to have this a little more condensed. So next week I'll try to get it down to, obviously, like I said, I want to keep these to 20 minutes, which means I'll probably end up hitting 30. But last year, about 50% of weeks, we ended up having an audio note like this drop, maybe more like 60, 65% of weeks. And so always keep an eye out for that on Sunday morning, and leave about 30 minutes in your process if you want to listen to these, just in case one of these shows up. With that, I'll get out of here, and I might see you guys on Discord. I still have rosters to build, so I may not be on there. But I know other guys will be on there, and the community will be on there bouncing final thoughts off each other. And then I'll fire off that Sunday morning email about an hour before kickoff. So I'll see you guys there, and I'll see you guys at the top of the leaderboards.